This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 108 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And we have a very fun treat for you this week. We are continuing on with our Arnold Schwarzenegger month. And this movie is 1994's True Lies. Now, Alex, how long has it been since you've seen True Lies?
I haven't seen this in a long time. You know why?
Why?
Because James Cameron does not want to freaking release this in a higher definition. So I have that's this in true. DVD, and that's the only way I can watch it. So sadly, I don't watch it that much because of the freaking DVD. It's horrible.
You know what? I watched this a little while back on streaming HD and Amazon, and it was okay. Before that, though, I hadn't seen it since VHS. But the thing is, I had this on VHS, and I've seen it like a million times. So. Yeah. I know it beat for beat. So we're going to be talking about it. Do I still like it though? I watched a lot when I was younger. Do I like it now? We're going to find out. But before we do that, let's get into a couple of the formalities here. We're going to go over some box office numbers as usual. We are going to go over the Rotten Tomatoes and critics and audience scores. So Alex, how well, I'm assuming it probably made a nice chunk, but how well did this movie do back in 1994?
Actually did pretty well. All right, let's check out the numbers for True Lies from 1994. Domestic, $146 million. International, $232 million. For a worldwide total of $378 million on a budget of $115 million. Opening night at $25 million.
This got to be one of the few $300 million. Now, that's $300 million in 94 money.
Yeah.
So we're talking easily over half a billion now. Easily. Probably twice that. Maybe like $700 million. That is not even in HD yet. It's got to be one of the only movies that is like that popular. Okay, well, how did this do with the critics and with the audiences? Do people like it? The answer is yes, with both. Critic scores, 71%. Pretty good for essentially a straight up action movie, a 71%, and the audience score is at a 76%. So while not like top tier for either, you know, Cameron or Schwarzenegger, very well received, very well liked, and clearly made a lot of money back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? Because the critics' audience have their scores. The box office is reflecting on those numbers, and it's pretty good across the board.
Yeah. So essentially, all that to say, apparently this is a pretty good movie, but you know what? Maybe it's not. You guys are about to find out because we throw all that crap out the window and me and Alex give you our take on these categories. Now, Alex, we are of course going to start, as we always do, with lead character, again, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So far, we've gotten Kindergarten Cop, where we gave him a high score, and we have also gotten, Last Action Hero, where we gave him a high score. So now we're going to True Lies. He plays Harry, what's his name?
Tasker.
Yeah, Harry Tasker. All right, what did you think?
I'm going to add Jamie Lee Curtis on this because they're both together in this movie and they're pretty much both the main characters.
They have individual storylines that converge, so I go with that.
Yeah, so in terms of Jamie Lee Curtis, I'll just tackle that quick. She's amazing in this. And if I had to just rate her alone, it would be a 5. She was awesome. She did not know this guy was working for whatever Secret Service organization called Omega. I think it was called Omega. It was on the floor or something. She was such a housewife, right? She works in the office. She really loves Harry a lot. You could tell she loved Arnold Schwarzenegger to death. So that was pretty cool. And she got sexy towards the middle when she did her dance. And then once she figured out the bubble popped on her true husband's identity and everything, I think that's where the movie takes place. And it was awesome. But let's get to my man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This guy is the king of 90s. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to say it right now. This dude is the king of 90s action movie. Because right now, my man Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay, is at a 5 for True Lies. This dude is amazing. He is so good. Like, it's weird, right? Because we tackled a comedy drama, right? Because that was the Kindergarten Cop, comedy drama, right?
Yeah.
Then you got yourself Last Action Hero. That was a true action comedy movie, but it was more action oriented. This is his bread and butter. Yeah. This one is a straight espionage action / comedy / family friendly movie. It was like four genres in this one movie, and he nailed every scene of this movie. Him and Tom Arnold had the great lines together, great buddy cop between those two. Him and Bill Paxton was awesome with each other. Him and Jamie Lee Curtis, and let me just tell you a little fun fact here. He did not want her to play his wife. Ooh. Because he knew her as a kid. So he did not want her to be, it was like a weird situation, you know, if you've seen him as a kid, he didn't want to kiss her or whatever. And James Cameron was like, she's going to be your wife. Yeah.
Kiss her.
And it worked, right? And it worked. And you know what? Look, it is what it is. I understand that situation. It was nothing. It was just a weird thing to him. But glad that it worked because they had great chemistry together. And honestly, he did everything right. I couldn't find no flaws against him, except, you know, you see the stunt double during a lot of the scenes.
A few
but
of the
that's
scenes,
that's 90s at his best when you see someone else's face on the actor.
That happened in T2.
Yeah. So yeah, but other than that, he was amazing. One-liners across the board, and it was great. And let me give you another. Oh, no, actually, I hold it off for action sequence. I don't want to take up your time. Yeah, what you got?
Well, what'd you give him?
I gave him a 5 out of 5.
Okay. So I figured, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't really add to what you just, that soliloquy you just blessed everyone with. It's a 5 for me as well. I thought he's great. You know what? I'm glad you crowned him king of 90s action films. He really is. We have reviewed on this show 4 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies so far. And as a lead character, he has gotten a 5 in every single one. And they've all come out in the 90s. So, and you know, I mean, this was his peak, his heyday, if you will, in my opinion. He was in 80s movies and he was fine in 80s movies. Don't get me wrong. But for whatever reason, that early 90s, really all the way through the mid to late 90s, he was the man. I love Schwarzenegger in this. I think you're right. He plays there's something about he has good comic timing for like a non-comedian. You know what I mean? His line delivery, it's spot on. He has that thick Austrian accent, but he nails it every time. I like him in the scenes at home. And Eliza Dushku was the daughter. Shout out to Eliza Dushku. She grew up.
She was great.
And then I agree with Jamie Lee Curtis. This is a different role than probably what she's been, because she was very kind of like bookish and nerdy in this. You know, she was a scream queen, and she'd done like some comedies and like Fish Called Wanda and Trading Places and stuff. But this was a little bit different, and she nailed it as well. I agree with you. I give him a 5. No complaints from me. Okay. Lead villain.
All right, so the lead villain is played by Salami Abul Azia? Some weird name. I'm just going to call him Art Malik. That's the guy who plays the actual terrorist. I'll just call him terrorist in this movie. Normal terrorist, nothing crazy. He was in the movie roughly 30 minutes. 30 to 40 minutes throughout, sprinkle here and there. But when he's on screen, he's actually pretty ruthless. He slapped the crap out of Tia Carrera. I saw her soul come out her body when she slapped her in that office. Like, he slapped her hard. I was like, oh my, I don't remember. You know what's funny? Out of the movie, there's certain scenes you remember. That scene I always remember. Like, he slapped the crap out of her. And I don't know if that was something that was, like, method acting. You know what I mean? Like, when someone slaps the crap, like, by mistake, and you go, oh my God, I'm sorry, and they got to cut the scene. Because when you see him slap her, she put that face like, what the hell? Like, you took this a little bit too far, but, like, they just continued rolling the cameras. That was all. But, again, he was cool. The chase scene was okay. Got to fight a little bit with Arnold. Typical terrorist. I gave him a 4, right? He's not memorable, but again, if you always say, when you see him on another movie, you go, oh, that's the terrorist from True Lies. So I always say that's a memorable character for him, right? So
that just happened recently. We watched something else, and I was like, isn't that a guy from True Lies?
Yeah, that's right. So basically for that, I gave him a 4. I thought he was a basic terrorist.
It was Bond. Playbook. It was one of the Timothy Dalton movies. He was in the Middle East.
Yeah.
The Living Daylights.
The Living Daylights.
He's in that. I agree with everything you said. I'm just a little lower than you.
Okay.
He's memorable because I hate the way he looks in this movie. I don't like looking at him. You're right. He does slap the ever living life out of Tia Carrera's character. That was memorable. But you know, my whole thing is like terrorist is a very basic villain.
Yeah.
And, you know, there, I feel like there's only so much you can do with that character. You know what I mean? Like, and he does, like, he just plays it pretty straight. He's all right. I gave him a 3. I don't, the villain's not what makes or breaks this movie for me at all. So he's fine. I do agree with you, though. He has a memorable face because he's ugly, but he's fine in the role. The actor is fine. The character, I don't even remember his name. So, you know, it is what it is. Okay. Action scenes.
Oh, mamacita. All right. The action in this movie is great. And one thing, look, I'm not going to hold my tongue here. James Cameron, it is so sad that this guy is a very talented action movie director that he's still stuck on this stupid Avatar for so long that we could have pumped out like an extra 20 action movies from this guy. But he's so hung up with this stupid water crap, which I haven't seen. But I'm just like, it's just so mind boggling that this guy has a great vision for action movies, from T2 to this to Aliens. Like, those are all iconic movies in his filmography of directing and writing, right? So, anyway, this movie starts off with Goldfinger from 007. I don't know if you ever seen Goldfinger. I know you did it. When you watch that movie, I hope I'm saying it right, but the Bond movie. But the Bond movie starts off exactly the way True Lies starts off. He comes in the pool of the mansion. He has the black suit. He pulls it off. There's a little duck on top. He pulls it off. And when he takes off the thing, he has the white tuxedo under with the red rose. The same layout, the same action sequence. He goes into the party. He blows up every same thing. So it's pretty cool nod.
Probably a homage. Yeah.
Yeah. If it is, genius. I will say James Cameron could helm a 007 movie because he has that eye for it.
Yeah. Cool, I think it is. Opening. I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a cool opening. You're like, wow, that's cool. Can it get better? It absolutely does. And I don't think the action sequences is a typical Arnold action scenes, right? One-liners, you got the jets, you got all this. But what makes this movie so fun in action is the fact that this dude is spying on his wife and using the whatever agency to spy. He uses their to trace them with the helicopters. He does the interrogation room. I think that is so purely genius. And I think this could have been a typical Arnold action from front to back, and everyone would have loved it. I think the elements of love between him and Helen.
Yeah.
I think that's what drew me in with the action. Because the fact is, he really loved his wife, and he was heartbroken when he found out that she was talking to Simon. But then, you know, that worked. Then you got the horse scene, which was pretty funny. He's like, you let the bad guys get away, and the horse went.
Talk to the horse like it's a person.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cute. The jet scene, the highway scene was amazing. I don't know if they really blew up that highway scene or if that was a toy, but... Mm-hmm.
Either way,
it looked great. I was like, this is really cool. That, to me, that's what I miss about action in this in 2021, right? Like, because we get all the glorified storylines. We get the glorified over-the-top gunfights, which is cool. But we don't get no more the over-the-top set pieces where you get the cool chase or someone's head gets blown off and the car is ramming at 100 miles per hour side to side and they got to get off before the bridge ends. We don't get some cool stuff like that. So anyway, with that said, 5.
Yeah, you know, I think you hit it on the head right there. Like, this is why the 90s is my favorite decade of movies, period. Like, for me, it's always been my favorite. Some people love 80s, some people love 2000s, some people love the 70s. I love 90s films because you're right, there's distinct lack of CGI in a lot of these movies. Now, I'm not saying they don't use computers, especially Cameron. He was way ahead. Terminator 2 is, you know, like a innovation in CGI, but it's where it's used, it's not as blatant. And a lot of it is like, even if it was models or scale, you know, small stuff, when you film that in certain ways, it looks better than CGI. Blow up a miniature that looks really good with a really good camera and at the right angles, it will look better than CGI buildings collapsing every single time. I guarantee it, because there will be real fire, real smoke, real, you know what I mean? I love this. I love the horse scene. Everybody, remember John Wick when he was on the horse and we're like, oh, John Wick's on the horse. Arnold rode the horse in 1994. He's already had an action scene with a horse. He goes through the hotel and everything. I love it. I love the scene and when they're in the snow, like this has like every single type of
action,
geographic, like location. You got like a snowy forest. You got the streets in the, you know, with the horse at nighttime. You get a jet. The jet scene is awesome. You get the long chase on the, what's that? The 7 mile bridge or whatever. That's mm-hmm. that's down in Florida. It's somewhere
that's near
here.
You, right?
Yeah. It's like that in scene? The Keys or something like that. Yeah. So it's like this long bridge. That's a great location because it's a long, it's just a long road. I love it. I think you're right about Cameron. Say what you want. And I have issues with certain things he does. And we'll get to it more in story and stuff. But as a director, he is top tier in technical skill. Absolutely 100%. I think he's not a great writer. I think he is an amazing director. His vision for stuff is next level. I agree. It's crazy that after this movie, since this movie came out in 27 years, he's only made two other movies since then, Titanic and Avatar. That's it. He's made two movies in 27 years. That's wild. Hey, good for him. He made a lot of money. He wants to go in submarines and stuff, but his technical skill is unmatched. He's one of the best. Every movie he does pushes something forward. I would say this doesn't do that. Like Terminator 2 did and Titanic did. This didn't, but this is a lot of fun. The action scenes are great. I gave it a 5 as well. I also love the scene when Arnold's like drugged up and he's talking to the guy. Yeah. He doesn't really kill him and all that stuff. And he's like, well, how are you going to do that? He's like, pick my handcuffs, sir. And then he's just better all of a sudden. I love that. And when Jamie Lee gets the gun and she has to shoot it and it's all crazy. I love it. It just, there's a good mix of comedy with the action, everything. 5 out of 5. Okay. Storyline.
All right. To me, this is where it's not horrible.
No.
Right. And this is, again, this is a typical action movie. Right. It's mm-hmm. not over the top storyline and all that. This is a typical warhead gets stolen and is about to bomb some iconic location in the United States. Typical stuff. It's just how they tell the story between A to B. That's where you want to know. Mm-hmm. This story, I gave it a 4. I think what drew me more, it wasn't nothing about the bombs and nothing. I didn't care for that. What I enjoyed was the relationship between Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think the relationship of their marriage, the marriage, he's thinking the marriage was in shambles because of Bill Paxton's character, him using his job to spy on her and Tom Arnold. It had a blend of everything that I enjoyed in Lethal Weapon. It was done in this movie. I'm going to be honest with you. This was a very Lethal Weapon movie. If you looked at the style, I'm not talking about the rigs or nothing like that. Like I think the style of movie was very Lethal Weapon. If you really peel back the characters and the style of comedy to drama and to the action, right? And
I would agree. I think they're in the same
ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So like I love that. So I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. Very memorable. You could watch it 1,000 times and you're not going to get tired of it. And I think what makes the movie very replay value is the fact of him and Tom Arnold. I think that's what it is. The chemistry between those two. And I mean, actually all of them, even the other guy that was in Dante's Peak with the curly hair. I forgot his name, but he was very good. And look, honestly, overall, I mean, this thing has everything. I mean, I can't even think of like, there is flaws. Okay. And I don't want to nitpick the flaws because honestly, I don't even think this movie deserves to be nitpicked for that. I know you're going to do it because I know you just said that there's certain things about James Cameron's writing that you don't like. So I'm going to let you take over that because honestly, I kind of enjoyed this movie. I don't think it's the perfect story. Line, but I gave it a 4 for great.
Well, I'm actually right there with you with my score. I also give this a 4, but I think you're right. I think the action elements are very generic. And my main issue with Cameron's writing has always been he goes for the most obvious and most generic things in his movies. Like nothing, he's not his dialogue is never very interesting. Like there's as memorable as this movie is on the whole, and as many times as I've seen it, like I said, I've watched this movie literally. I had it on tape and I've seen it. I mean, I would watch it, rewind it, and then like watch it again that same night. I've seen it a million times, but I can't tell you very many like lines of dialogue. You know what I mean? Like there's no distinct, his writing is not good in that regard. Or even something like Avatar, you know, like the way he names the items, like this great mineral and it's called unobtainium, like, oh, because you can't obtain it. He's very obvious. He's very on the nose. And that's my thing with James Cameron. He's an on the nose writer. It's like this. We have terrorists. What do they want? A warhead. Like, you know, okay, this is very, very, very basic. But The plot is good. I think that's why I gave it a 4. The overall plot is good. So I don't want to nitpick either because I like it. I think it's quality. I just don't think it's perfect. I like the dynamic. I think this is probably the least annoying Tom Arnold movie in ever that has ever been. Because Tom Arnold can get grating. Remember when we watched, what was the stupid movie with Jet Li? The Cradle to the Grave.
Yeah, he was annoying there, yeah.
It was like kind of annoying, right? This was like not annoying Tom Arnold. This is when he was still pretty good. But he's really good in this. Bill Paxton steals the movie. Mm-hmm. Every scene he's in, he is... And he's like one of James Cameron's go-to guys. He's been in like a bunch of his movies. He got a great role. He's like a slimy guy who's just trying to hook up with Jamie Lee Curtis' character by lying and saying he's a spy. They do to him is so great. The interrogation, he pees on himself and everything. Like, hilarious. Great. But I like the story. I think it's good. I just don't think it's like the best. So 4 for me as well. So overall.
Honestly, it's a perfect movie. For me, it's a 5. I think the blend of comedy, drama, family, friendly. Like I said, it just has so many genres of movies in one that I think it was very enjoyable. And it still holds up. Sadly to say, it still holds up. If you really want to go, yeah, does it? Yeah, it does. If we ever in this, whenever he decides to do a 4K of this movie, it's going to be a day one buy for me. This movie is still holds up. I enjoy watching it. I like it a lot. And no, other than that, that's pretty much it. I can't throw nothing else because I think we covered everything in every category here for me to just try to repeat myself. But yeah, this is a absolute 5 overall action movie.
Yeah, for me, as many times as I've seen it, it's a 4. I'm thinking 8 out of 10. I always give this an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I totally get the... There's some... You know, so there's some movies where it's like people talk about it a lot and you don't always get it. You're like, why though? It's like this one, I kind of get the clamoring for like needing it in a new format. You know what I mean? Like, but James Cameron's a weirdo. Like even Avatar and Titanic, two of the biggest movies of all times, are not in 4K yet. So, you know, it's kind of weird. Terminator's not in 4K yet. Aliens, none of his movies are in 4K yet except Terminator 2, and it's bad. So it's kind of weird that Cameron, being who he is, doesn't even go above Blu-ray, but I think it's because he's underwater. The movie's great. The movie's great. It's a lot of fun. You're right. As far as it being a rated R movie, it's almost the most family-friendly rated R movie you can watch. Like, there's not a ton of cursing in it. Like, there's cursing, but not a ton. It's not like there's F-bombs left and right. Jamie Lee Curtis's got that dance scene that maybe you'll have to cover your kids' eyes for. But I watched this a lot when I was like 12, 13, 14. I think the first time I saw it, my mom was like, don't look at that. And then she just was like, well, whatever. But other than that, there's some violence. I guess that's the R rating, you know. But for the most part, it's good. Great. It's a great movie. A lot of fun. Great action movie. Great action comedy. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I never really thought the Lethal Weapon reference makes sense. Like, they're in that same genre. And they have a lot of similarities, not plot-wise, but just when you watch it, you feel like you're watching movies that were made around the same time. Especially like Lethal Weapon 3, I think it is. Like, not that that's the best one, but it's very 90s. You know, that and 2 are very 90s.
Yeah, 2. I would say this one needs more 2 than 3.
Yeah, yeah, 2. So very 90s, but Arnold, the man, Arnold, the king of the 90s so far. All right, so what is your overall total?
My overall is an 18 out of a 25.
18. Gotta be higher. It's gotta be higher. You gotta be missing some points there because you gave it higher scores than me and I'm at a 21.
Yeah, no, I gave it a 4 to villain, 4 to...
Your lead was a 5, though.
Yeah, 5 for action. That's 10. 4 for main villain and then 4 for storyline.
And overall, a 5.
Oh, and oh yeah.
23.
23. My bad. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. So 23. 23. Okay, 23 for you, 21 for me. Very high scores. We had a good week. We liked both of the movies we watched this week. It was not... We've had some bad weeks in the past.
Very bad week.
This was not one of them. This was a good time. So let's see if we keep it going. I don't know. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Underworld Awakening, the fourth film in the Underworld franchise. And we were continuing. We're jumping. We're flash forwarding to way more recent Arnold with a movie called The Last Stand from, I think, 2013 or something like that. I don't know.
I seen that movie once. Is this the movie that he comes back after being governor?
Yeah, this was his first leading role after politics.
Okay.
So going to be watching that. I've seen it as well. I remember liking it, but we'll see if we still like it. So this is a big flash forward. And then for the last Arnold movie, just a little preview, going to the 80s, Commando. Yeah, we're going to watch some Commando. So this was a good month. Arnold month was a good month. It's treated us well so far, and hopefully it continues.
I think from the grin that you're showing right now, I think you enjoy this more than the Stallone month.
Way more. I've had a way better time with this.
I can tell.
When we were getting to the end of Stallone month, I was like, I can't wait for this to end. Whereas with the Arnold movies, I'm like, all right, what's next? What are we watching next? I've had a better time, to be honest.
I think because with the Stallone had a little clunkers with the Cobras, you didn't like that. So
the Assassins.
The
Specialist.
Yeah.
It was a little rough. These have been bangers. And for the series, we did Terminator and we did Rambo. So we did their two like biggest action franchises already. So we've done a lot of Stallone, and now catching up with a lot of Schwarzenegger. It's been fun. But this is the Action Movie Guys podcast. Yep. And these are the action guys, right? Stallone and Schwarzenegger. They're the two biggest ones.
And we will be coming back with a part two of Arnold. So don't worry. There'll be time. We're going to get to the Erasers.
And Stallone one day. We'll get back to Stallone one day.
That's part three. But this one, to catch up with the, you know, we're going to do the Erasers.
We got to do Erasers. Escape Plan.
Collateral Damage.
Yeah, Collateral Damage. End of Days.
Because of that one scene.
There's a lot.
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan, yeah.
That's kind of a franchise, right? Because that's a Destroyer, too. That's a sequel.
You're right.
Conan the Destroyer.
And know we cover remakes in these things. So
we got to do the remake. So that's the three parts. So that's a franchise. So there you have it, guys. Again, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlixMovieReviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys podcast or Levels of Geeks if you guys are watching us on YouTube. If you want to support the channels, please hit that subscribe button, hit the like buttons if you enjoyed this video, hit those notification bells so every time we go live Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, you guys will be notified. And of course, when we drop reviews, you guys will be notified also. And of course, we have the Action Movie Guys podcast on the go. You guys can listen to us on Apple, you got Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. Other than that is your host
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.